And Matthew 17:21 says, "Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." And I wanted to take some time and teach us on fasting. Now, what I'm going to go through is not new to me. It's not original to me. It's from our one-year discipleship course on fasting. So I'm going to be teaching us through that. And we are going to start in Matthew 6 and verse 16. The Bible says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." Let's pray. Father, we come to you, Lord, asking you, God, to help us understand this truth of fasting, Lord. And I really don't get everything there is to it, Lord, but I know that it's important to you. And you hear us, Lord, when we fast. And there's certain times you've showed us we should fast. And God, I pray as a church we would take that seriously, Lord. We desire to have spiritual power. We desire to have your help. We desire to have you answer our prayers. And God, we desire protection. And those are all reasons you've given us to fast, Lord. So help us to take this serious and understand that we are getting into spiritual warfare and we all the more need your help. And God, I pray you just guide and lead in this time and help us to see the seriousness of this. And Lord, that we would see that we are in a serious battle and there's casualties in this war. And God, just like if we were soldiers out, we'd be walking very vigilantly. Lord, help us to do the same thing right here, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we think about being soldiers and stepping into battle, you know, fasting is something that very much has to do with spiritual warfare, because that's what we are entering in upon. Everything that we do as we serve the Lord, again, we look at Matthew 16:18. He says, "I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." That means the gates of hell are coming after the Lord's church. The gates of hell are attacking the Lord's church, and we are in spiritual warfare. And with that, comes definite casualties. But what many of us can lose sight of is because it is spiritual, we can't necessarily see it. And because we can't see it, we may think it's not real, or it's not serious, or it doesn't happen here. But if we were to actually be in a physical war right now, if there was war going on around us, if another nation invaded us, we would see that very real right in front of our eyes. And if we were to leave our houses, we would be very careful. And we'd be vigilant. We'd be on watch wherever we went. And we would want protection. And we want to make sure we did things very carefully, because there would be serious consequences if we didn't do it that way. Now, the danger is for us is that as we're in a spiritual battle, we always have to have eyes of faith. We have to see things from an eternal perspective. We have to see things how God sees them. And we have to remind ourselves of that we are truly in a spiritual battle, even right now. You know, as we just prayed, and we are praying for people in this church and families in this church. And even right now, that's spiritual warfare right there. And we're praying for the souls of men and women, and that is spiritual battle. And not just that, but we're praying for the souls. If I can put it like this, I understand that once somebody's saved, they cannot be lost. But we're praying for the souls of people in here as well, that they wouldn't, you know, be snared by the devil and be beaten down and be dragged away from God. There's a spiritual battle that we are fighting even just now as we were praying, and it's that serious. And we are calling heaven for help. We are calling out to God and to the hosts of the Lord's army to come and help us. He is the Lord of hosts. Amen. And that's encompassing all his armies in heaven, and we need his help. And we're asking him to come here and really just fight the devil off. Lord, get the devils out of here. Get the devils away from here. Get the devils away from the families in our church. Lord, help us. Get the evil influences of people that will be used by the devil. Lord, get them and keep them away from our kids, especially, is what I think of. Just keep them away from our children. Keep them away from our husbands. Keep them away from our wives. Keep them away from our brothers and our sisters. Protect the families that are here, God. We need you. And we're in spiritual battle, and we have to realize that it's very serious. Amen. And it's easy for all of us to lose sight of. And this is one of the reasons we need to fast. But as we get into this, we're first going to look at some warnings about fasting. And first off, we see in this passage right here that biblical fasting is not something that you do for show. Amen. It says, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance. They disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast." They want to look holy. They want to look special. So God says, hey, don't be like those hypocrites. They're fakes. They're actors. That's what He's saying about them. They're just playing the part. God says, don't be like the hypocrites of a sad countenance, disfiguring your face so everybody knows what's wrong. You're like, oh, I'm just fasting because I'm holy. And that's what they would do. They'd just be, oh. So everyone would know. He's talking about the scribes and the Pharisees especially. He says, "Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." They get their reward. What is their reward? The applause of men. They say, oh, look at how holy he is. He's fasting. Oh, she's fasting. Man, that's a holy person right there. And that's what people want. God says, when you fast, don't be that way. Don't let anybody know. Don't let anybody know. I've been fasting before and people ask, hey, you want something to eat? And I'm like, yeah, I do. But no, I'm not going to eat anything. And then they start pushing you. They're like, why aren't you eating? I'm just, oh, just because I'm just not. I just don't want to eat anything right now. And they just keep pushing you and keep pushing you. And finally, you're like, well, I'm fasting, okay? I'm not eating anything. I'm trying not to tell you, man. The Bible says don't say anything. All right? I didn't want anybody to know. But when they push you like that, you know, you just go ahead and just let them know. It's not talking about something like that. But God says, hey, they get their reward. What is their reward? The applause of men. The men look at them and say, oh, how great, how amazing they are. You know, I like, as we look at this right here, it says, you know, God... Nowhere in the Bible are we commanded to fast. That I've found. I haven't found anywhere in the Bible we're commanded to fast. But we do have this right here where Jesus said, moreover, when ye fast. He didn't command us, but He sure does expect it, doesn't He? He didn't say you have to, but He's just like, well, you're going to. So when you do it, don't be like the hypocrites. God expects us to fast. God expects every one of us to fast. Why? Because He says, hey, this is a weapon for you in spiritual warfare. This is a weapon for you to get My attention. This is a weapon for you to get My help. So why wouldn't you do it? See, I laid the example down for you. You saw Me fasting. Don't you want to be like Me? Why wouldn't you? So when you fast, God expects it. He says, don't be like this. Don't be like those hypocrites. They have their reward. But thou, verse 17, when thou fastest, here's what you do. Anoint thine head and wash thy face. What does He say? Don't make it look like you're, you know, you may be on a longer fast and you might begin to get pale or something like that. He's like, wash your face. Keep yourself looking fresh. That way people don't know. Just, it's between Me and you. That thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. So God knows. So here's the thing. Look, when we do fast, God says, hey, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Now you think, why would God say something like that? Why would God say something like that? You know what we did with our children when we were potty training them? We would tell them, my wife was good at this. She's really the one that thought of this. But she'd get like a little jar of candies. It'd be M&Ms or Skittles or something like that. And every time they'd go to the bathroom and the toilet, she'd give them one of those. She'd reward them for doing what she wanted. So why do you think God says that? I'll reward you openly. You do this in secret. Don't let people know. Your Father, which seeth in secret, He's going to reward you openly. He gives us a reward. You think it's something He wants us to do then? To me, that's how I see that's an encouragement to do right. God's saying, here, let Me help you do right. I'm going to reward you openly. Oh, prosperity gospel. No, that's what the Bible says. God says, if you do it in secret, God says, I'm going to reward you openly. Now, I don't know how that means He's going to do it, but whatever it is, there's going to be a reward. You can look at verse 4 too. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret Himself shall reward thee openly. God wants to reward us openly when we do things in secret. He doesn't want us to make a big show of our religion, of the things that we do and how we serve Him. He says, do it in secret. I'm going to reward thee openly. So God promises that those that practice biblical fasting will be rewarded openly. Fasting is not some empty religious ritual. It is not a ritual observed once a week, once a month, prior to the Lord's Supper. Fasting, rather, is something that is practiced when a special need arises and when the Holy Spirit leads. That's what fasting is. That's how you see it throughout the Bible. Biblical fasting is not for physical health. You got, man, you've seen the Daniel fast and all this stuff, and you got all these preachers, and I think Rick Warren was the latest one to, I'm fasting so I can get healthy and lose weight and stuff. That's no reason in the Bible to fast. Amen. That's never a reason in the Bible to fast. There may be some health benefits to it, but it's never a reason God gives. Amen. Never. That's not why we do it. It's not to get some selfish motive out of it like that. It doesn't speak of it in light of health, but as a means of spiritual warfare. Biblical fasting is also not some empty ascetic practice. Let's look at Colossians 2:20, if we would, please. You know, as we preach on something like fasting, this isn't something, some bombastic sermon that's going to excite everyone and get everyone excited, I'm telling you. But what this will do is this will build a strong church. Amen. This will build a strong church, and that's what we want. That's why we would teach on these things. These are the things Jesus taught on. We just read it. He thought it was important, and as do we. So Colossians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, "Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances?" Get this, touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom and will worship, and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. So they have a show of wisdom and will worship. Not really necessarily God worship, but will worship, what I want, my will, what the things that I want to do. And he warns about it, and he says, why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances? So why do you subject yourself to these things that people tell you can't touch this, you can't taste this, you can't handle this? It's specifically speaking about these ascetic practices. Ascetism is where people, you know, if every year around what they call Easter, you've got a lot of Catholics will go and crawl up these steps, you know, on their knees till their knees are bleeding. They'll crawl down a road till their knees are bleeding. They'll whip their backs until they're bleeding. You've got those ascetic practices where they're basically inflicting themselves with pain as a payment for their sin. And God's saying, no, this isn't why you fast. You don't do it for that. You don't taste not because of that. It's not some ascetic practice. False teachers in Paul's day were practicing fasting because they believed it made them holy. They taught that salvation and sanctification were attained by following a list of rules. The touch not, taste not, handle not. The Roman Catholic monastic system adopted this same error. The monastics locked themselves away from society, beat themselves, starved themselves, refused to bathe or to change their clothes and many such things with the goal of climbing the ladder to heaven and drawing close to God. But that's a false gospel. True spirituality is being in a right relationship with and fellowship with Jesus Christ. That's what we want. It's not about inflicting pain upon ourselves so we can somehow please God through that. So fasting has nothing to do with that. This is important right here. Fasting does not necessarily guarantee that our prayers will be answered. It does not guarantee that our prayers will be answered. You can see that in 2 Samuel chapter 12 when David had committed that horrible act of adultery with Bathsheba and she became impregnated and had a baby and the baby was sick and David fasted for that child to live and the child did not live. The child died. So it doesn't guarantee that we will get the answer that we are seeking. And sixth, fasting is not a matter of law, but of liberty. It is a personal matter. You can't tell someone, you got to do it this way, and this way. You have to do it how I say. No, it has nothing to do with that. It's between them and God. That's where I get the Catholic Church, you know. You get 40 days of Lent. You know, Good Friday and all that. You can't eat meat on Friday. What? Says who? And when did that come up? You know, when did you guys hear from God that he said, now all of a sudden you can't eat meat? Oh, now you can eat fish, though. Fish is no longer considered meat. I mean, who's getting the memos on these things? I'm just wondering here. But no one can tell you how to fast. It's a matter of liberty. It's personal. Fasting is important and useful in a Christian's life and their service, but it's not something that can be commanded, and it's not something by which we can judge the spiritual condition of others. Everyone's in a different place. I know some men who've fasted for 40 days, no food, just liquid. And they told me that as well. I'm good for you. I'm glad you did that. I said, I will never do that unless the Lord tells me to. I have no desire to do that. I wouldn't do it unless the Lord told me to. Men have also died doing a 40-day fast. I'll just throw that out there. But it's a personal matter. Look, if God said, I want you to do 40 days of fasting, I'd be like, oh, okay, Lord, get me ready, please, because that's going to be tough. That's going to be tough. But it's a personal matter. If God tells someone else to do it, I'm going to go for it. Praise the Lord. It's up to each of us. But it's something that I believe we need to do as a church. I'm not going to make anyone. I can't make anyone. But I believe we do need to, especially as we go into church planting. And as we get closer to starting this church, we're going to pray and fast. And as we move through this, I'm going to stop right here for now. And we'll look at the importance of fasting next week. But as we go through this, we're going to look and see that before they took on a huge spiritual endeavor like we're about to do, they were fasting and praying. And that's what we need to do. And we want, you know, God's wisdom and God's guidance in this. And I know we've prayed about it a lot, but I want us to begin fasting as well. Even going forward with it, not just right before the start, but even going forward in it, we need to fast. So that's something we're going to do. We'll continue learning about this. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer.